disciples, followers of Srila Prabhupada. O most kind Tulsi, to whom the feet of Govinda are so dear, have you seen that infallible one walk by, wearing you and encircled by swarms of bees? Please repeat, O most kind Tulsi, to whom the feet of Govinda are so dear. Have you seen that infallible one walk by? Wearing you and encircled by swarms of bees. Purport. The Acharyas explain here that the word charana is a term of respect, as in the expression evam vedanti acharya charana. The bees humming around the garland worn by Sri Govinda were attracted by the fragrance of Tulsi Manjaris offered to him. The gopis felt that the trees had not replied because they were male, but that Tulsi, being female, would sympathize with their plight. Om Agana Timbaranjasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakur Unmilitam Yena Tasmae Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swana Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raganatam Tam Vitam Sam Sivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishikam Nitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Samostute Dapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshre Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakopatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhube Bhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnava Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So towards the end we'll go back over some additional commentaries here on these verses by Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur. But I want to, first of all, talk a little bit about this very special tree. The gopis here are speaking with different trees, one after another, trying to find out something about Krishna. They're actually in a very unusual and very special state of consciousness, where they have gone, what we might say, mad, and they begin to inquire from all their immediate surrounding, where is Krishna? And so here, they're speaking to Tulsi Devi. And Tulsi Devi is, of course, very important. Srila Prabhupada, in this movement early on, he established the worship of Tulsi Devi as a daily activity in the temples. Tulsi Devi is always placed on the deity of Krishna. Does any of the students here know where the Tulsi leaves are placed? Yes. Yes, on Krishna's feet. And also, many times they make garlands out of Tulsi Manjaris, Tulsi flowers, right? So Krishna is wearing those garlands of Tulsi. And those garlands are so fragrant that when Krishna is wearing them, the bumblebees, they go after those flowers, hundreds and hundreds of them. So Krishna is always surrounded by swarms of bees flying all around because they're attracted to Tulsi. But Krishna doesn't mind. He doesn't mind that botheration of the bees because Tulsi is so dear to him. So Another important factor about Tulsi Devi is that when we offer food to Krishna, do we put any, what special things do we put on the food? Yes, your turn.
Tulsi.
Tulsi leaves, yes. Why? Yes?
He likes them,
and he won't accept any food that you don't put tulsi leaves on. One time in Mayapur, there is a Jagannath temple, and that temple is pretty far away from the temple of the Panchatattva. And the pujari there has to bring all the food, all the cooked food for offering to the deities, quite a long ways, a few miles. And he brought the food all the way to offer to the deity of Jagannath, and he looked as he was ready to offer, and he had forgotten the tulsi leaves. So he was afraid that Lord Jagannath would not accept them. So he prayed and prayed and prayed to Jagannath, please forgive him. He didn't intentionally do this. And he made the offering. And he came back, he closed the curtain, and he came back later after the offering was over. He opened, and the whole plate was covered with tulsi leaves and tulsi manjaris. This actually happened. One of our ISKCON devotees made this offering. So Krishna is very fond of these tulsi leaves and tulsi flowers. So in the Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada quotes the Skanda Purana, telling us that tulsi is all auspicious in all respects, simply by seeing. So if you simply see tulsi, or by touching her, simply by remembering or praying to or bowing down before her, and simply by hearing about her or sowing and planting the seeds of this tree, there is always auspiciousness. Anyone who comes in contact with the tulsi tree in the above-mentioned ways lives eternally in the Vaikuntha world. How many want to live eternally in the Vaikuntha world? Anyone? Oh, not all the students. Some don't want to go. They're changing their mind, they're still thinking.
They're going for Vrindavan.
Oh, Vrindavan, I see. Well, that also can happen too. Okay. So this is very important that we have tulsi in the house, tulsi in the... We offer our obeisances. How many people offer their obeisances to tulsi every day? Not so many. Okay. I would like to ask if anyone knows the 8 primary names of Tulsi Devi. Maybe not, huh? That was a challenge. So your teachers will have to teach you some more. Somewhere I have them. Give me a minute here. I think my notes are out of order. Definitely so many notes. Part of preparing properly for a class is to keep your notes in order. Yeah? Vinda Devi is one of the names. One second here.
Tulasi.
What?
Tulasi.
Tulasi, yes. Anyone?
Mother Karuna knows that Vishwapalani
Tulasi. Oh, she knows all of them. I'm not too good at hearing all those. I have to speak up a little bit. Very good. These are important names to know and remember. I don't know why, I can't find them. I have them like three different places. So, at any rate, there are eight principal names for Tolstoy. As was recited here just now. I am very unfortunate here. Cannot find even one of them. Goodness gracious. Embarrassing. You're all very tolerant. Anyway, we'll have to find them later, I guess. Anyway, one of my favorite names for Tulsi Devi is Krishna Jivani. It means she is the very life of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So she's very dear to Lord Krishna. And in addition to these eight primary names, there's a total of 108 names given to Tulsi Devi. And when we recite these names, of course, we are remembering her qualities, her greatness, her dearness to Lord Krishna. Let's get this in order. Too bad. So, I wanted to ask another question here. How many people here are wearing Tulsi neck beads? Wow. Very good. And why do you wear Tulsi neck beads? Yes. What's that? Protect you. From what? Hmm? Yes? Go ahead. Bad people. Well, especially from the Lord of Death. What's his name? Yamaraj, right? We don't want him to take us because he won't be too nice to people he takes. Hmm? Yes? And it also protects us from diseases. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. We also want to understand that we also chant on beads made of Tulsi Devi, right? Because as we read, it's very important to touch Tulsi Devi, touch your body. So they're made out of Tulsi leaves. And then we also keep Tulsi in our homes. How many people have Tulsi in their homes? Some are not sure. They don't know. The older girls are pretty shy today. They're not sure? Huh? You found it? Well, if you've got the microphone, you can speak it.
Okay, here they are. Vrinda Devi, Vrindavani, Vishwa Pujita, Vishwa Pavani, Pushpasara, Nandini, Tulsi Devi, and the last one is Krishna Jivani.
Yes, and, here they are. Vrindavani, one who is first manifested in Vrindavan. So she first appears in Vrindavan. Vrinda means she's the goddess in charge of all the plants and trees. And Vishvapujita means everyone in the whole universe worships her. Pushpasara, the topmost of all flowers, without whom Krishna does not like to look upon any other flower. Nandini, seeing whom gives unlimited bliss to the devotees. So when you see Tulsi Devi, it gives us great bliss. Krishna Jivani, the life of Lord Krishna. Vishvapavani, one who purifies the three worlds, and Tulasi, one who has no comparison. Interesting. I had it marked, but I didn't see the marker. Bad. Okay, so there is also an important, where they go, a list of benefits of worshiping Tulsi Devi. Tulsi Devi is a pure devotee of Krishna, and one who puts the dirt and the soil from Tulsi on their body and worships the deity of Lord Krishna gets the results of 100 days of worship each day. One who sees or comes near a house or a garden where Tulsi is present gets rid of all sinful reactions, including that of killing a Brahmin. Now here's another important one, that Lord Krishna lives happily in the house, town, or forest where Tulsi Devi is present. So Krishna will live happily in our house if Tulsi is there. A house where Tulsi Devi is present never falls upon bad times. It becomes purer than all the holy places. And the fragrance of Tulsi Devi purifies all who smell it. Lord Krishna and all the demigods live in a house where the mud from the base of the Tulsi tree is found. And one who worships Lord Krishna daily with Tulsi leaves attains the results of all kinds of austerities, charity, and sacrifice. In fact, he has no other duties to perform, and he has realized the essence of the scriptures. One who puts the Tulsi leaves in his mouth or on his head have been offered to Lord Krishna attains to Lord Krishna's abode. And in Kali Yuga, one who worships, remembers, plants, keeps, or performs kirtan before Tulsi burns up all sinful reaction and quickly attains Lord Krishna's abode. One who remembers the glories of Tulsi or tells others about them will never take his birth again. So there are so many benefits to worshiping Tulsi Devi. And it's very important that we worship her in our own homes. Especially because Lord Krishna is very pleased by this action. Anyone who here doesn't know how to perform Tulsi Puja in their home? Okay, everyone's home. Oh, one person. So we'll speak later about that. But it's very important we can hear about the importance of having Tulsi worship, not just for oneself, but for the whole family. Everyone should come and attend. And it purifies the whole atmosphere. In the Skanda Purana, it says, every house with a Tulsi plant is a place of pilgrimage. No diseases or messengers of Yamaraj, the god of death, can enter that house. Where the aroma of Tulsi is carried by the wind, it purifies the atmosphere and frees all the animals from baser tendencies. And Lord Vishnu, that's from the Padma Purana, and again from the Padma Purana, Vishnu, the Lord of the Three Worlds, takes up the abode in the village or the house where Tulsi is grown. In such a house, no one suffers calamities like poverty, illness, or separation from dear ones. And of course everyone knows, and most everyone, that the worship of Tulsi is very simple to perform with incense, ghee lamp, and flowers. And it should be done daily. If you have Tulsi in your house, you should worship Tulsi Devi daily. So I wanted to now, since I guess all the children have gone, go back and speak about the some purports given by Vishnubhat Chakravarti Thakur on these verses 5, 6, and 7. For text 5, he explains the position of the gopis and why they are inquiring from these specific Ashvata, Plaksha, and Niyagroda trees. So the gopis pose 9 questions about Krishna's whereabouts in these verses 5 through 15. And because the Plaksha, Ashvata, and other trees are so tall, they surely must see Krishna, even if he's far away. Thinking this, the gopis inquire from the trees in this verse. The Plaksha tree is also known as Pilu. Anyone ever tasted the Pilu fruit? Any of the ladies ever tasted Pilu? Ever tasted Pilu? Wow. You have to make a point. They're very nice. Very sweet. In India. When I was living in Vrindavan for a while, the vendors used to have sometimes carry Pilu. The fruit is very sweet. Yeah, they're kind of roundish. But if you eat the, if you chew on the seed, it becomes immediately very hot. And in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, some devotees traveling from Vrindavan came back to Jagannath Puri, and they brought these Pilu fruits, and they distributed them to the devotees. And Lord Chaitanya watched as they ate, and the ones who were familiar, they would just eat the fruits and not the seeds. But some of the devotees from Bengal would not bend to that side of India. They chewed on the seeds and their mouths started burning, and Lord Chaitanya would. He laughed to see that. The interesting sight. So Lord Chaitanya also, when he would chant japa, devotees would bring a tulsi plant so he could chant near Tulsi Devi. He said he never wanted to feel separation from Tulsi. He wanted always Tulsi to be there when he was chanting. So he would chant his fixed number of rounds daily in front of the Tulsi tree. So going on, it said, fearing the trees would say to the gopis, why are you asking? The gopis said, though Krishna is the son of the pious Nanda Maharaj, he has stolen the hearts of us women and run away. He sends his servants as thieves in the form of his sweet smiles and bold glances, along with special bewildering potion of his prema, which maddens everyone. Passing through the gates of our eyes and into the city of our hearts, these thieves have stolen the jewel of our minds and run off. Standing silently for a short time in expectation of an answer, the gopis thought, oh, these trees are useless. They are so proud that they simply ignore us, refusing to give any answer. We have had enough of these trees who have meager fruits and are ignorant of their religious duty of helping others. Besides, their buds aren't even blossoming and their hearts are impure. Thinking in this way, the gopis left these trees and went elsewhere. So first they're inquiring from these very tall trees, thinking that they would may have seen Krishna. But they were disappointed because they got no answer. So in text 6, Vishnubhat Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse, O Kurubaka tree, O Ashoka, O Naga, O Punaga, and Champaka, as Balaram's younger brother, whose smile removes the audacity of all proud women, passed this way. So his commentary is, entering the a flower garden, and the gopis thought, ah, yes, it is better to ask from these trees which have pure hearts and are gracious, graciously honoring their guests, the bees, by serving them with honey. The gopis approached the Kurubaka and other trees. The Kurubaka, which is amaranth, has red, unfading flowers, and naga means nagaikshara. And meeting the trees, the gopis asked, where has Krishna gone, or where is he hiding? Fearing the trees would ask, why do you want to know? The gopis said, using his smile, Krishna has stolen the false pride of us women, whose wealth is our pride, and has run away, depriving us of all our wealth. When the wind shook the tops of the branches, the gopis thought, oh, they are shaking their heads, saying they do not know. What use do we have for these hard-hearted males? Thinking thus, they went elsewhere. So as the breeze made the tops of the branches shake, they took it that these trees also were indicating they did not know, and they began to identify the trees as being males and being unsympathetic to these young ladies. So then, in the verse of today, they speak, O most kind Tulsi, to whom the feet of Govinda are so dear, have you seen that infallible one walk by, wearing you and encircled by swarms of bees? So the commentary by Vishnuvachakavarti Thakur says, approaching the Tulsi, Malati, and other plants, the gopis thought, these plants, being female, will understand the agony of a woman's heart and surely be merciful. So let us inquire from them. Thinking like this, they approached the chief plant, Tulsi, and asked, you are fortunate, being dear to the feet of Govinda, Govinda Charanat Priye. But we are unfortunate because Krishna has left us. The phrase Govinda Charanat Priye can also mean dear to the respectable Govinda. Because the word charana indicates respect, as in the expression Acharya Charana, the respectable teacher. The gopis are also dear to Govinda's feet. Expecting this answer, the gopis said, true, but you are more fortunate than us because of the additional attractive quality of never experiencing separation. So they're never separated from Krishna. They're always at his lotus feet. Carrying you around his neck, Krishna has gone off. This proves the magnitude of your great fortune. Encircled by swarms of bees implies that Krishna carries you, even though that means having to ignore the disturbance created by many thousands of bees. Thus, we must conclude that he, who is fond of fine fragrances, has not accepted us because we do not have any such fine fragrance. So here, again, we can see that the gopis are praising the Tulsi tree because she has the fortune of being so dear to Lord Krishna. She's seen as being the topmost devotee and very important, that Krishna will not accept any offering without the Tulsi leaves. So they're approaching her. But again, as we'll see in future verses, they are disappointed, because Tulsi Devi does not respond. So also we know that Tulsi Devi is also known as Vrinda, the Gopi Vrinda in the Krishna Lila. And the forest of Vrindavan is actually named after her, that is her forest. And she plays an intimate role in Lord Krishna's pastimes. So as we worship her daily, we're praying for her mercy and her kindness so that we may also be allowed someday to enter into Krishna's pastimes. So there's, of course, much more could be said about Tulsi Devi and Vrinda Devi, but let me stop here and see if anyone wants to speak anything, share anything, any questions. Yes, Drivikram. Oh, Maharaj, you want to speak?
Just a little thing. When one goes to Vrindavan and has the good fortune to accept Dina Bandhu Prabhu's invitation for so many parikrams, he'll often speak about Vrinda Devi. And it's quite amazing that everywhere she has what he calls go-downs. In other words, it's Indian language for English Indian language for like storehouses. So whenever something they have as a pastime, and is, of course, you might think in these, you know, leelas that you just manifest from thin air, but I guess for the Leela's sake, it's very practical, like there's some management required. But she always has everything available in different places, so when they need, you know, whatever they need for, you know, maybe plates or maybe jewels or maybe whatever is needed for a particular pastime and festival, she'll immediately be able to produce it.
That's true. She's responsible for making all arrangements for Radha and Krishna's pastimes. She provides the drinks and refreshments. She provides the clean clothes, the flower beds. She arranges the kunjas, the groves, the special houses for Krishna and the gopis. She even arranges the spirit messengers to send messages back and forth to Radha and Krishna, telling them what's going on and what is the latest news, where Krishna is, what he's doing, what Radharani is doing.
Parrots?
Parrots.
Are the messengers parrots?
Yeah, parrot messengers, definitely. In fact, Vrindavan is full of so many beautiful colored parrots. And they're constantly sending messages. Prabhupada said, you go to Vrindavan and you can just become absorbed in seeing all the wonderful birds and help you, that helps you think of Krishna. So many beautiful birds. Especially also the peacocks. Yes, Trivikram. Trees,
yeah.
Well, some trees are considered male, in fact, most trees, but specifically Tulsi Devi is considered female.
She is.
Well, in the early days when they were first beginning to worship Tulsi Devi, different devotees approached Srila Prabhupada and asked him. For example, they were growing them in front of the Hawaii temple. And like you say, they grew very abundantly. So intensely did they grow that they were practically covering the entrance. People could not enter the temple very easily. And they asked Prabhupada, should we cut her back? And Prabhupada said, no, you cannot cut her. That is a great offense. He said, you can tie back the branches. And then they told Prabhupada, well, when the people go in the temple, they have to lower their heads to go underneath the Tulsi plant. And he was very pleased. He said, yes, they have to respect Tulsi by lowering their head. Mm-hmm. So he said, never should they cut Tulsi.
Certain things happen on the like horticultural or botanical level that are not in the esoteric level. I mean, I've heard devotees say that not all tulsis have manjaris. Is that correct?
And
that the ones that have
here, there's like 2-3 types of Tulsi Devi. They all have manjaris.
Okay,
maybe not all year round, but then certain seasons, spring season.
Okay, now pardon my naivete, but do the manjaris or not having manjaris or having manjari? At one time I heard someone telling me they have to do whether the plant is male or female.
No.
It's not.
I never heard that.
Okay.
All the tulsis have.
So that would be confusing if all Tulsis.
Anyone else have any observation on this? No, the ladies are all being quiet. No, they all have flowers. That's been my experience for many years, and I think Krishna Keshava, I think you know that they collect many manjaris during the different months here from the Tulsis, and practically all the plants have manjaris. Okay, well, anything else? Oh yes, Mother Jayashree.
Nadasi with the first Tulsi. She's the one who planted the first Tulsis. And it's a fact that the plants were, they were like 6 foot tall and they were covering the walkway. But I think you should write to Govinda Dasi and ask her, because I'm almost positive that Prabhupada told them finally that they could prune her to get her off of the sidewalk.
That quote wasn't in there, so maybe that happened, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that was after. You know, he did say, he actually, when he first came up the walkway, said that you shouldn't even step on her shadow. That I remember. He was with Hansa Duda and some other devotees. But as far as I remember, they did end up pruning the ones on the side, on the walkway, so that people wouldn't hit them every time they went by. Mm. Govinda Dasi was the one who would be able to tell you that.
Well, one thing I know is clear, that Prabhupada was trying to emphasize that she's not treated like a regular plant. Of course, you know, you have to water her and fertilize her and take care of her, but she is to be respected always as a pure devotee, not just as a plant. So, you know, that is very important. Yes, Prabhupada?
It's okay to prune off the dead branches, is that right? Because that makes her healthier?
I wouldn't say necessarily makes her healthier, but...
When taking care of Tulsi, I was doing that, and I think I read in a book, or somebody told me, that in nature, if a branch is dead, and you take the dead branch off, it actually helps the tree become healthier.
I think I would consult with some experts in the Tulsi maintenance department, get an opinion on that. My Prabhupada said never to cut her, so I don't know. All right. Maharaj, one last comment?
Well, just an indication of how important Tulsi Devi was to Srila Prabhupada. That, as many of us know, in all of the Bhaktivedanta purports, there's only one place where a name of a disciple is mentioned, and that's Govinda Dasi, praising her for sowing Tulsi all and cultivating all over the world. He was so thankful, so he actually mentioned her name in purport, in Bhagavatam.
Yes, the worship of Tulsi, presence of Tulsi was so important.
Keeping letters and stuff like that, that she was personally responsible for all the Tulsis grown in our movement. And she was the source of, you know, like the original book. He told her to make a book. So
how
she's
to care
actually
for her,
kind
yeah.
of the original authority. And if anyone has questions, she'd probably be the person. She's very accessible on Facebook. She has some type of a blog or something.
Okay, thank you. All right, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai.